Wasn't that awesome? Amen and amen. Out of the mouths of babes, amen? Childlike faith. By the way, everybody here, everybody in this room has childlike faith, if you realize that. But I'm not going to start preaching. I'm going to stick with my notes this morning. Amen. Resurrection Sunday. I want to start with this scripture that'll be from a John 11:25. And just setting this up, it's Jesus. We've sung about Lazarus coming forth from the grave this morning, haven't we? And so, in this particular scripture, Mary and Martha had come to Jesus. Martha and said, "Hey, if you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died." And so that's kind of what, you know, what they're saying. They're grieving the death of their brother Lazarus. And then Jesus says something peculiar this morning, that, you know, how he answered things sometimes. He answered this with a question that's for you and I this morning. And it says, Jesus said to her, it was to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." You hear that, saints? Like talking about Karen this morning. She's not dead. She's alive, believe me. And then it says, "Do you believe this?" And so the question I ask for everybody in this room, or a reminder for saints, is, do you believe this? In the world that we're living in today, we have to remind one another of these things, saints. And so the same spirit of the world that tried to snuff out Jesus, I want to mention, is still at work today. Saints, I want, in a world today where there's a lot of fear, where any peace is trying to be stolen from your hearts, allow the Lord to remind you who he is this morning. Or maybe you need to come to know of his peace. What this world desperately needs is his peace. And I want to talk about a few things that, before we get to the resurrection, about what Jesus was going through, what was happening up to the time that he gave his life freely on the cross. And I want to talk about number one point that I have. It's called the catalyst for Jesus' death. And maybe you haven't thought about this before. In Matthew 27:15-18, it says, "Now at the Passover feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the people any one prisoner whom they wanted. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, 'Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Christ?' For he knew that it was because of envy that they had handed him over." It's interesting. We know that Jesus came and he was to give his life freely for you and I, but did you know that the reason that they handed him over wasn't because of the miracles, it wasn't because of the things that happened, it was because of envy. It was actually the envy of the religious leaders and the leaders of that day. They handed him over out of envy. So they wanted what Jesus had, but they didn't have it. They didn't realize they could have had what Jesus had, but they wanted to have it their way. And they were envious of Jesus. You know, envy means discontented, longing for someone else's advantages. And jealousy, which is similar, means unpleasant suspicion or apprehension of rivalship. The Apostle Paul also, as we get going, he in his ministry, he experienced this thing called envy. In Acts 13:45, it says, "And on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city," imagine this, "almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God." Could you imagine a whole city getting together to hear the word of God? Amen? "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul." So this time, the leadership at that time where Paul says, they also being envious. Why? Because they saw the whole town gathering to him to hear this message of truth. And what they did, they ended up having an opposition that was raised up, and he actually had to end up fleeing this town. It went from a time that could have had a great time of revival to Paul having to escape with his life, and this was simply because of envy. You know, over the past 2,000 years, saints, folks, listen, things have not changed. There's nothing new under the sun that man experiences today. This thing with envy. You know, I have to say, because we need peace, but what we've seen and experienced in the American streets, the uprise of social justice, through politics, through socialism, I am telling you, it is rooted and grounded in envy and jealousy. And I'm telling you, it is rooted and grounded in what other people have and looking at other people. Things have not changed over 2,000 years. Rooted and grounded in what others have or perception of what they have. These things that we see, the things that we deal with today has not changed in over 2,000 years. Let me move on. So let you know that there's a reason for these things, the things that we're seeing. Number two, Jesus went from hero to scapegoat. So we know last Sunday was Palm Sunday, right? John 12:12-13. On the next day, when the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, indeed the King of Israel." Wow, if you can imagine the sight, the whole city. Matter of fact, the leaders, the religious leaders that time said, "Man, look at the whole world has gone after him." Remember being rooted and grounded in their envy and jealousy of Jesus. And let me say, to think of it, and then let me move on. It went from him being the hero to the villain. Matthew 27:20-23 says, "But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. And the governor said to them, 'Which of the two do you want me to release to you?' And they said, 'Barabbas.' Pilate said to them, 'Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ?' They all said, 'Crucify him.' But he said, 'Why? What evil has he done?' Yet they kept shouting all the more, saying, 'Crucify him.'" You can imagine the crowd, "Crucify him." And I'm telling you, in the world what we're dealing today, we're still dealing with the same spirit that's saying, "Crucify him." You can hear it this way. It says, "We can drive him from the schools. If we can drive him from the schools, we'll finally get rid of this Jesus. If we can remove him from the textbooks, we can finally crucify this Jesus. If we can remove him from the government, we can finally get rid of Jesus. If we can get society to agree with our lifestyle, we can finally crucify Jesus." Folks, I hope that you are not an individual on this Sunday that are swallowed what we're dealing with in society today. Jesus said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you as my sons and daughters." Amen. Not buying into what others are saying. And I guarantee you it's rooted and grounded in envy and jealousy. See, there's a blessing on the people of God. There's a joy upon the people of God. And when people see that, they feel uncomfortable in their lifestyles. They become envious and jealous of what you have in Christ. If you don't know him this morning or haven't, or maybe you need to be reacquainted with the God who loves you deeply. Amen. Do you love him this morning? Amen. That's pretty good stuff right there. Number three, they abused and mocked Jesus. So you guys, as I say these words, let there be a picture that forms in your mind, can we? Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort to him. Can you imagine all these Romans in this huge room? And they stripped him. They're talking about Jesus, and they put a red cloak on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him. Just imagine this mocking. They knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and beat him on the head. He's got this crown of thorns on his head. And they're not just talking about tapping him, man. They are totally just swinging this thing, abusing the Savior. And they spit on him and took the reed and beat him on the head. And after they had mocked him, They took the cloak off of him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. You think of what he went through before he even went to the cross for you and I, saints. See, there was all a purpose of that. It wasn't by accident. Even though it was the spirit of the world of envy and jealousy that was going against him, it pleased God that he would take an abuse like that so that you and I today could have peace. That you and I could go free. That you and I could go off scot-free. You've heard, not just free, but scot-free. Under the blood of Jesus, under him taking stripes on his back for your and I's healing. Oh, how he loves you and I. Saints, I say, oh, how he loves you and I. And so that same spirit of mockery, it's prevalent today. Should we be surprised at what we're dealing with today? In 1 Peter 4:4, it says, in connection with all of this, excuse me, in connection with all of this, I'm going to wait, is that, you've got that, John? 1 Peter 4:4. Thank you, John. No, that's not the right one. Thank you. So in connection with all of this, they, the unbelievers, now listen, this is, are resentful and surprised that you do not think like them, value their values, and run hand in hand with them into the same excesses of dissipation and immoral freedom. And they criticize and abuse and ridicule you and make fun of your values. That's what we're dealing with today. That's what we're dealing with today. Don't be surprised. What we're dealing with in this nation has happened. Nothing new under the sun. At different times, there's been this prevalent spirit of envy and jealousy of the things of God and people being ridiculing you, not understanding why you don't think the same way as them. Amen? So don't be surprised. Let your heart be encouraged today. You know, when I think about these things, what we're dealing with, and when you see these things happening, there's only one thing that can change that, and that is the Spirit of Christ that overcomes the spirit of Antichrist. There's always been a spirit of Antichrist, it even says in the 1 John. It's the Spirit of God's love and grace and mercy and strength that's calling all to him if they will come to the Spirit of Christ. So as they mock Jesus, and you see what they're doing today in the world, and this nation particularly, don't be surprised, amen? But the good news is number three, they abused and mocked Jesus. Death could not hold him down, Satan. Death couldn't hold him down, amen? John 20, 11 through 17, let's read this. And this is Mary Magdalene, I believe, that we're reading about. So, but Mary was standing outside the tomb, weeping. So as she wept, she stopped. She stooped and looked inside the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and do not know, and I don't know where they have put him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and yet she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Jesus turned and said to him, in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascended to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." See, the grave couldn't hold him down. All those things that he went through for us. The same spirit that was coming against him is coming against the people of God and against righteousness today. The good thing is he was risen from the grave, amen? And the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, if you believe and know him, dwells in you to give you strength and power and truth in this time, amen? So that number five I have is question, do you believe Jesus was resurrected from the dead? John 11, 25, I'm going to read it again. But I'm going to add another verse to it. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? And Martha says, she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who is to come into the world. Amen. And you know what's interesting is she said that before she even saw the miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead. Wow. She knew that he was the Christ. And what Jesus was saying there is that there was coming a short time after that, because after Lazarus was raised from the dead, the leaders then said, we've got to get rid of this guy. The whole world has fallen. We got to get rid of this guy, as they saw the proof of his power as he had raised Lazarus from the dead. So the thing is, do you believe in this resurrection from the dead, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he loves you, that there is no other way man can come to God? Listen, saints, he loves you, but there's no other way man can come to God but through the Son. He paid the ultimate price. He paid the price for all abuse that's been demonstrated towards you or towards those you know. He's also paid the price for the abuser. Thank you, Jesus. For all that has sinned, he's paid the price. For everything that you've seen in the world that is ugly and is a spirit of the world, he can set you and I free today to have inner peace that this world needs. And it only comes because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number six, he freely gave his life for the sin of the world. So we read about the mockery he took, the abuse he took, hanging him on a cross, him raising him from the dead. But know this, that he freely gave his life for the sin of the world. Philippians 2:8 says, and being in appearance found as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. Wow. Even though it was the envy of man that was the catalyst of his death, he gave himself as a free will offering. Romans 6:9 says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer has master over him. So I ask you again this morning, I want to read that scripture again, 11:25-6. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And so I ask you this morning, do you believe that? You know, the answer, the next point is the answer is godly repentance. 2 Peter 3:8 says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, meaning he's coming again, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Let me talk about repentance this morning real quick. Repentance meaning what or from what? Repent from thinking I'm good enough. It says for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. It also says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. So repenting from thinking that you can stand before a holy God on your own merits. Man, that's the ultimate of pride, isn't it? That I can do that on my own. Number two, repent from your sin by being washed in the blood of Jesus, saying, Jesus, wash my sins away in your blood. Man, that's why he shed his blood. That's why on the cross, that's why he took all the abuse that he did when they mocked him, putting that crown of thorns on his head, mocking him, not knowing that was the creator of the world that they were mocking. Him, even Jesus, dying for those soldiers right there. So repent from your sin by being washed in the blood of Jesus, saying, Jesus, wash my sins away. Amen. Number three, believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. There's no other God. There's no other religion. There's no other thought that can save an individual. It's only through Jesus. The gate is open through him. He's paid the price, the ultimate price. Four, know that he loves you with an everlasting love. See, to really understand repentance, you need to know that he loves you. He loves you right where you're at. I said he loves you right where you're at. You'll never understand repentance until you understand his love. You'll never have confidence that even in your struggles or things you've done in the past or even things you're going to do in the future, you can't have confidence in repentance until you have confidence that he loves you. And then when you give your life, you belong to him. Do you believe that this morning? The world may be going crazy, but he wants to give you and I peace and contentment in a world of uncertainty. Saints, I know there's a lot of things going on, and I've come to realize I can't try to figure out what's going on. But I have already figured out what the answer is. And so I'm going to give the answer, Jesus. You need help? Here's Jesus. You need freedom? Here's Jesus. You've fallen away from Lord? Come on back. He still loves you. He loves you. There is freedom. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, how we love you this morning. Lord, how we love you this morning. We're going to have a time of communion. As you can tell, on this Sunday morning, we've shortened the service. We're going to have a time of communion. But first, I want to have a prayer of salvation. I ask that if you prayed this prayer with us, that after church you come and see me. I want to pray with you. I want to talk to you a little bit more about Jesus. Saints, I don't care what you're going through right now, or if you think, well, I've tried before. I've tried to walk with the Lord, and I failed. You need to understand his love for you. I am telling you, that is the foundation, is his love for you. That in all your struggles, once you realize that no matter what is going on in your life, that he loves you and wants to lead and direct you, man, the enemy cannot stop you. The lies of the enemy can't stop you. The things that you've struggled with in the past start to disappear. This new creation that he made you to be starts to become evident. Not all at once necessarily, but little by little growing in him. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Doesn't that sound wonderful that even though through all your mistakes may be here today, all of your struggles, all the things that you're questioning, why? But I'm telling you here that he loves you, that he is still the answer for you. He paid the ultimate price. You can't pay the price. Let me tell you, you can't pay the price. There's nothing you can do to pay the price. He freely paid the price for you. Today, say, Lord, I'm coming back home. Today, Lord, I'm going to start learning about your love for me. Amen? For God is love. Can we all pray this prayer together? Is that okay? Isn't that sound wonderful? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I didn't hear you. Lord Jesus, I believe you are God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Wash my sins away in the blood of Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I said, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me a new life. I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. The word says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he's raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Put his Spirit in you. He will set you free. How do I know? He's done it for me, and I know he's done it for many people. Amen. We're going to move to communion. Are you still with me there? Is it me or is it warm in here? Good. It's usually the opposite. If you don't have an element here, can you raise your hand? We're going to give you one. Does anybody not have an element? One right here. Just a couple. Thank you, Russ. And then amen. So this does take much prayer to open. You got to bend it down and then up, and then the little clear film on the top that you figure. It took me years to figure it out. Is it all ready? Amen. As we take communion, let me encourage you this. If you need to draw closer to the Lord, just say, Lord, I ask your blood, wash my sins away. Lord, I love you. I've come to realize that if you're struggling, you need communion. Religion will drive you away from the Lord. Man, I don't buy into that anymore. That whole chapter there, when I look at it, is totally through years. I've been fooled. I didn't study it out myself. Anyway, I preached a message on that once. It was pretty good. But anyway, it was really good, actually. But I couldn't start preaching that now. We'd be here another hour. Know that he loves you and that he died for you. This communion is here today. What this communion is, it reminds you what his body and his blood did. You know, healing for your body. If you're praying for healing for your body, that's part of salvation. If you've been dealing with sorrow and pain, say, Lord, touch my heart. If you've been dealing with depression, say, Jesus, thank you for taking depression away in Jesus' name. Amen. Those things that God wants us to walk in his peace. So this thing is a reminder of Christ's death until his return and what his death accomplished. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26, this is Paul actually. He says, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. But he's delivering this to you and I today, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. Man, is everybody ready, by the way? Did I ask everybody ready? Take your bread and hold it up, would you? And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And Lord, we remember that you sacrificed your body for us freely on the cross. We thank you for that, God, and what it represents. How we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. New covenant. Right with God through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And saints, he is coming again. Let's take the cup together. Amen. I'm not sure if you put this to the middle aisle, they'll see. Say amen. Closing. Amen. Can we stand up together? It should be coming soon. I'm going to give a minute. Remember, if you said that prayer of salvation, please come see me. Or if you recommitted your life to him, would you come see me? Come up front. Amen. I would love to talk with you. If you feel comfortable now, can you raise your hands and say, Lord, I receive your peace. Lord, I receive your strength. I receive your joy. I receive your Holy Spirit. I receive your peace. I receive your joy. Jesus, I love you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for raising the dead for us. Hallelujah. Thank you for raising from the dead for us. It's amazing what, if you would believe that with faith, the words that you spoke today, just his peace, what that does to your life. It says the just shall live by faith. And Lord, we thank you for faith coming alive in us, coming alive in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, Father God. We thank you for coming alive in this day, in this hour. I don't care how dark the world is. Thank you for coming. coming alive in me. How about you? Thank you for coming alive in me, coming alive in my home, coming alive in my neighborhood, coming alive in my school, coming alive in my town, coming alive in my county, coming alive in my state, coming alive in my nation, and coming alive in the world. We thank you for that today, Lord. Oh, how we love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for strengthening your people, Father God. We thank you for breaking bondages and chains of sorrow, Father God. Depression, breaking that, Father God. We receive of your joy and peace, Lord. Oh, how he loves us, Father God. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Enjoy your Easter Sunday.